you, Jesus. I want to open up just for a few moments. You guys can pray, whatever you want to do. If you feel like, keep praying, pressing in. I'm just going to teach a little bit while you're up here because I feel like we got to go here for a minute. If you want to, you can be seated as well. In the Old Testament, there's a story about a man named Jehoshaphat. Everybody say Jehoshaphat. He was king of Judah. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord, unlike his father Asa and those before him who set up idols. And here's Jehoshaphat. He begins to clean house. The Bible says in chapter 20, we're going to look at chapter 20, but before that, a little bit earlier, it talks about Jehoshaphat having a heart that was devoted to the ways of the Lord. And he rid the camp of Asherah poles and idols and those things that did not honor God, did not please God. And he began to devote the people to God in the way that the king should. And then we see in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 where he is being warned that a vast army is approaching quickly against him. You guys ever felt like something's getting ready to come quickly against you? You ever had that pressure before, that tension that you're not sure, just the uneasiness or something just happens? Anybody ever had the rug just pulled out from under your feet before on something? Here goes Jehoshaphat, and he's honoring God, and all of a sudden this prophet begins to tell him that the danger is approaching quickly. And it says in 2 Chronicles 20 that Jehoshaphat feared. I want you to go there with me in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 and 4. I believe we have that on the overhead as well. But it says that in that context, it says some of the people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom. From the other side of the Dead Sea, it is already in close by. In alarm, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord, and indeed they came from every town in Judah to seek him. What I love about this is that in the middle of Jehoshaphat feared, you guys ever feared anything in your life? You don't have to be honest and say anything about that other than just listening. You don't have to confess it. But yes, I want you to see how this fear is described here in the scripture. Yes, the multitude is coming, but more so, in awe of God. It says earlier in the scriptures about Jehoshaphat that he feared God, and he even reminded his tribe. He said, you've got to remember to fear the Almighty God. It's okay to have a little bit of fear, righteous fear about who God is. How many believe God is sovereign? It's kind of like my son-in-law when he was getting ready to ask for my daughter's hand in marriage. I like that he had a little bit of fear about his father-in-law. I like that. Just push it a little bit. Because when he first came to me, he was in college and Megan was in high school. And he says, is it okay if I date your daughter? And I said, you know what? Y'all just be friends for a little while. And he took it as a huge no. We laugh about that now. But she wasn't quite ready to start that. And so after she got out of high school and he began to hang around the church. And so we were renovating a new building and Mikey would come after work every day and work in the building. And my associate pastor said, you know why he's here, don't you? I said, yeah, but I'm going to get every bit of work out of him as I can, as long as I can. And Mikey, if you're watching, I love you, man. But he wanted my daughter's hand in marriage. But there was a little bit of, I didn't even be careful with Steve. That's his baby. Jehoshaphat honored God so much that he had a fear, a holy fear, if you will, of God. Do you have a holy fear of God? I think a holy fear of God is healthy because it says, you know what? God's bigger than me. Matter of fact, God's bigger than this obstacle in my life. And I trust him. And it says that Jehoshaphat feared God. We're living in a, but understand, that he feared the power and majesty of God more than he did the destructive forces of the enemies that were coming to get him, that were coming after him. He feared the power and majesty of God. We're living in the land of the afraid right now. We're living in the land of the afraid. We've been through this COVID stuff. We've been through, we see the violence around us. We see, there's even last week, I saw there's a national hotline now, 988 for suicide prevention and emotional distress hotline. We're living in a land of afraid, but not afraid of God. They're afraid of everything else around them. Those of us who know God, let us look to him as the Almighty God. Everybody say the Almighty God. He is the Almighty God. We know him this morning, Brother Ralph. We know him as King of all kings and Lord of all lords. We know him as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. We know him as he is the everlasting of everlasting. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. We know him as Lord. We know him as Savior. We know him as baptizer. We know him as healer. And we know him as soon coming King. Can somebody give him praise this morning? We know him as the morning star, the Passover lamb. He is the Prince of Peace, and we know him. His name is Jesus. And we fear him in that he is sovereign, Teresa. He is sovereign God. He is just. He is holy. And we fear him, and we're in awe of him. And that's the position that Jehoshaphat took as he had the armies coming against him from all directions. He began to fear. And second thing I see that Jehoshaphat did is he began to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 4. I want you to see this morning. He began to seek the Lord. He began to call out to God and cry out to God. Watch here. It says alarmed, verse 3, it says alarmed. And really what that's saying is the word is fear. Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire. Everybody say inquire. Inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek. Everybody say seek. Seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. The word seek is a reoccurring theme in 2 Chronicles. When you read through this, you'll see the word seek several times. This is a theme of seeking and worshiping God. And the theme in the life of Jehoshaphat, we see that his theme of his life was to seek the Lord, to please the Lord. To seek the Lord is what this king did. He set an example by his own personal devotion to God. He would not call upon the people of Judah to seek the Lord in a way that he was not doing it himself. And he's reassuring the people of Judah as the leaders would seek the Lord on their behalf. Listen, when you seek the Lord, you can expect God to do things that only he can do when you seek his face. How many can say this morning, Pastor, there was something I was going through in my life and I began to seek the Lord and I began to pray, I began to fast, and I began to believe God and things changed in my life for the glory of God. Have you experienced that before? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something about when the leaders as well pray and seek God and say, Lord, this is going to be a house of prayer. This is going to be a place where we're going to seek God. We're going to believe God for great things. We're going to be hungry for God. We're going to seek God. And when the leaders begin to do that and the people of God begin to see that, something special happens when we humble ourselves and we posture ourselves and we have a devotion to God. Seek. Everybody say seek. A key word in Jehoshaphat's reign. It occurs twice in Hebrew and it's translated. And this is where I'm going today, talking about worship today. Talking about worship is that we're clothed in worship and we put that on. We put on that robe of righteousness. We put on a garment of praise. We worship him in the middle of our battles and our struggles. And what the word here, seek, is really referring to is worship. Everybody say worship. You see, worship for me and worship for you and all of us should be not a song on Sunday morning. Worship for us should not be a 1 hour and a half or whatever, or 1 hour service on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday or one of the weekdays. Worship for us should not be compartmentalized, but worship should be our entire lives, 24/7, 365, every second we breathe should be worship unto God. That was a good place for Pentecost. Get excited right there. Worship for me has become not something it's part of my life. It's just compartmentalized. It's a separate place of my life. But worship for me has become a way of life, a rhythm of life. It's a lifestyle of worship. It's a lifestyle of worship. Does that mean, Pastor Steve, that you're perfect? Oh my gosh, no way. I come before the Lord daily and I ask God, if there's anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, rid me of that. The same prayer that David prayed, and I have failed miserably before God. But I thank God that his mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient. And I put on my clothes of righteousness in Christ and I choose to walk in him. And I live a lifestyle of worship. A lifestyle of worship. This word seek, it demonstrates that Jehoshaphat had a higher trust in God than all his military resources. It demonstrates that you and I have a higher trust in God than our own abilities and our own talents and resources. When we seek to worship God in the midst of our fears, in our deepest struggles, we are demonstrating to others that our hope is in something far greater than anything else in this world. And whatever I can do to help it, whatever I can fix to help it, whatever resources I have, when I pray and seek the Lord, I'm saying to God and I'm saying to those around me that God is my all in all. And I go to Him first and foremost. And Jehoshaphat begins to lead in prayer. Look at verse 12, if you will, chapter 20. We'll go back to 11. It says, "See how they are repaying for us by coming to drive us out to the possession you gave us as an inheritance." And in verse 12, "Our God, will you not judge them?" You ever ask God a question, "God, will you not answer this prayer? God, where are you? God, what are you going to do?" And this is what Jehoshaphat, where he was at, this army's coming. He says, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us." You ever felt that way before? "I don't have enough money in the bank to pay all the bills that are due right now. I don't have the means within myself to make myself better when the doctor's report is negative. I don't know how to fix this relationship, but I've done all I know to do, and I don't know what else to do, and I relinquish it to God." How many have been in those situations before? Some of you are somewhere right now, and you say, "I don't know how I'm going to do what I need to do." This is where Jehoshaphat was. He says, "We do not know what to do, but what does he say? What does it say right there? But our eyes are on you." Underline that, highlight that in your Bible, get it in your knower. Our eyes are upon you. In other words, in the middle of not knowing what to do, in the middle of that, I choose to put on a garment of praise and begin to worship and seek Him. Remember, worship is seeking. Seeking is worshiping. It's living in His presence. And I begin to see that I'm praying and I'm asking God. The key part of prayer is when you say, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how you're going to do it. But Lord, I trust you, God, to do it the way you want to do it. And I trust it in the time you want to do it, God, because there's nothing impossible for you, Lord Jesus." You begin to have that kind of posture, and you watch God do what only He can do. I reminded someone at the altar this morning, Psalm 46, that says that He is a very present help in time of trouble. And it says in verse 10, it says basically, "Watch me, watch me, watch me." Amen, Tammy. "Watch me. Know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." 19th century pastor evangelist Charles Spurgeon says this, in context of this scripture right here where Jehoshaphat says, "I don't know what to do." Spurgeon says this, "Lord, if help does come, it must come from Thee. We are looking to Thee for it. It cannot come from anywhere else, so we look to Thee. But we believe it will come. Men will not look for that which they know will not come. We feel sure it will come, for we do not know how, so we are looking. We do not know when, but we are looking. We do not know what Thou wouldest have us to do, but as the servant looks to her mistress, so are we looking to Thee, Lord. We are looking." I wonder this morning, are you looking to the Lord in the middle of your trial, in the middle of your battle, in the middle of your challenge? Are you looking to the Lord? Are you trusting in the Lord? Now look at verse 13 and 15. I believe this is a key place where he begins to pray. Verse 13, "All men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord." Now, he's called the assembly of the believers together, and they're standing there before the Lord. They're praying together. He's leading in this prayer. He's saying on behalf of the people of Judah, he says, "We don't know what we're going to do. The enemy's coming, and we don't know what we're going to do." And they're looking to their leader, and he says, "We don't know what we're going to do, but we know God knows what He's going to do. And we're trusting in God." And right here in verse 13, "All the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah," which is very interesting to me. We talked about Benaiah a few weeks ago. "The son of Jael and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph. And he stood in the assembly." And this is what he said. This young man said in verse 15, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid." You guys see that? "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's." Hallelujah. There's sometimes we need to be reminded that no matter what you're going through, whatever battle you're facing right now, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or imagine. Oh, hallelujah. He knows my thoughts. He knows my desires. He knows my dreams. We begin to ask God, where are you? We begin to ask God, don't you see my situation? He was there long before you even asked that question. People of Judah, they're standing, they're kneeling silently before the Lord, and they're waiting. I want you to understand this word, waiting. W-A-I-T-I-N-G, exclamation point. They were waiting. Everybody say waiting. They're waiting on God. That's a hard thing that we do. We can't grasp that. Waiting for direction and encouragement from God. A young man begins to prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel. There's something about this posture and this body of Christ. I want you to get this morning, and I'm going to wrap it up here just for a moment. This posture that this body took on. And now think about it. The enemy's approaching. The enemy's coming from all directions. Jehoshaphat has no army that can defend them to this quantity, if you will, this strength, if you will. And he's asking God, what are we going to do? And the whole assembly, they're silent, they posture themselves, and they're solemn. You know the Lord desires to. There's been places in your life where you have been silent and solemn, and you trusted God. I know you have. And in the middle of that, even this morning, as we're worshiping and praising the Lord, there's a place in you that you just know God desires to answer this prayer. You know what I'm talking about? You just know that He's with you. You don't see it yet. You haven't experienced the victory for it. But you just have a deep trust in the God that you know and love and serve. You say, Lord, I have submitted this to you. I have committed this to you. Maybe you've waited years for this answer to prayer. How many have prayed a prayer for many years and haven't seen the answer yet? All across the house. But there is something in your knower that you just know God, He wants to answer that prayer. And you know that He will in the time, and you've committed it to Him, and there's something in you. You know the Lord desires to, and He will, and the answer, but you must wait. Everybody say, wait on His timing. It's a place of surrender. It's a place of posture and waiting. It's a place called worship. Anybody get that? Hope you didn't miss that one. It's a place called worship. And that, my friend, is what worship really is. A place of waiting. A place of seeking. A place of living in a rhythm of life where there's no turn off, turn on the things of God. He's just part of you. Jesus says, I am part of Him and He is part of me. We're co-laborers. We're walking together. We're journeying together. Prayer for me is an all-day communication with God, not just a 1 hour or a 30-minute or a 5-minute thing in the morning. Prayer for me is talking to God all day long. Amen? Just talking to Him. He's with me. Living a life that Lord, I want to live a life pleasing to you. I want to live a life where I'm worshiping you, where I'm seeking you. Worship is always worship. It's not a song on Sunday morning. It's not a service you attend. It's not something you compartmentalize, but worship is something that becomes part of who you are in God. It's a theme to life. You wake up in the morning with a song of praise. You lay down at night with a song of praise. You go through your day declaring the praises of God. It's a lifestyle of worship. Watch what happened next, and I love this. The word comes. Look at verse 15. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Everybody say, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. I want to remind you this morning, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged because of the thing that's coming against you right now in your life. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed because of the vast army that is approaching you. Oh, that's a good word this morning. That's a good word. And I love what this prophet said. The battle is not yours, but God, but God's. And this is what the people did. Now, usually, I know some of you like a good ball game, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, whatever it is. But usually, there's not a lot of celebration going on if your team's down. You know, you're under the score and we're doing too well. But at the end of that game, if it's tied up, and at the very last inning or the very last few seconds of the game, there's a shot made or there's a pass caught or there's a home run hit or a walk-off home run, whatever it is, there's a celebration. Everybody say celebration. A celebration because there's a victory, right? Here, the children of God, the people of Judah, begin to worship. With the army advancing and coming on the scene, coming at them, they could have been afraid for their lives. They could have been cowering down in the holes and the caves and running for their lives. But no, they begin to worship. Watch what they do. They worship before the battle was even fought. The celebration, the win, they began to worship because even before then, they believed strongly in the word that was given to them. They believed in the word of God. Hallelujah. You've got to believe the word for what it says it is, for what it says it says. You got to believe that God loves you because he says he loves you. You got to believe that God saved you because he said he saves you. You got to believe that he fills you with the Holy Spirit because he said he would fill you with the Holy Spirit. Oh, is anybody getting this morning? Hallelujah. We got to believe the word of God for what it says who God is. Do you trust God and his word enough to praise him before the victory comes? And that's what true worship is, Tyler. When you begin to worship him in the middle of the storm, there is no greater witness when people that don't know the Lord see you working through something that's very difficult and still honoring God with your life, still trusting in God, still attending church, still giving to the Lord, still serving God in the middle of your hurt and your difficulty. They worship even before the battle was fought. And so what I want to say to this congregation for this hour, for this season, those watching online that are part of our family here at Rock Hill First, I want us to posture our hearts, posture our bodies when we are facing the enemy's schemes. And listen, these last days, the enemy's on all slaughter. He's on all front attack of the Church of Jesus Christ. He is on an attack on your life personally. He's on an attack of this community. How many believe that he is on attack? But there is nothing that he can come against us. No weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Hallelujah. If he is for me, then who is against me? My God is who he says he is. So I posture our heart, my heart, my body. I'm going to face the enemy. We were in the thick of it when up seems down. And going forward seems backward. When the doctor's report is not good, when the finances are tight, when the relationship is difficult, when the struggle is all about you can take, I'm asking for you to worship him. To worship him. Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat feared. He feared God. Jehoshaphat began to seek the Lord in the middle of his fear. And I love in verse 21, and I'll stop with this one right here. Early in the morning, they left of the desert of Tekoa, and they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing. George? What? I think I'd be like sharpening my tools and just get a barricade here. We got to protect our families. Think about that for a moment. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing. I like our t-shirts a few weeks ago. It said, "Real men sing real loud." Men, there's something about your praise that no devil in hell can stand against. Did you hear me? Ladies, there's something about your praise that no devil in hell, no matter what he throws at you, there is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper over your praise. Do you hear me this morning? Young person, you begin to seek God, worship God with your life, and commit your way to the Lord. There is no weapon that the enemy will throw at you that can survive in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So Jehoshaphat begins to sing. He says, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." And after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army. Now, he did have an army, but it wasn't a vast army that was coming against him. But before the army, he put worshipers. He put singers. And you see what they sang? What they sing? Y'all say it with me. Give thanks to the Lord. Say it with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And I love what verse 22 says. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. What was happening was they were turning the swords on one another. They were killing one another. As these guys were worshiping God, in the middle of that, the enemy was being defeated. And they were worshiping God in the middle of that. And it says the Lord set ambushes on them. And I love what happened after that. Judah goes down on the fourth day. And what do? After the battle is over, they go down to where the battlefield is on the fourth day. You know what they do? They begin to pick up the spoils of war. They begin to pick up the wealth of those that had fallen. And they take that with them, and they live probably the rest of their lives on the wealth from that battle. I love that not only Psalm 103 says, don't forget all of his benefits. Meaning that not only does he save me, but he blesses my life over and over and over and over again. Isn't that right, God's will? He blesses us over and over and over and over again. More than we ever dreamed that he would, more than we expect. We're just thankful that we're saved, that we're forgiven, that we're in right standing with God. He says, but that I want to bless you beyond that. I want to give an abundance. And they begin to take that. And so what I want to see is that, I want you to understand this morning, God gives victory, but he also gives blessings and wealth. And in other words, he gives blessings that last for a lifetime in the situation. You see, you're coming to Jesus and you're knowing Christ is something that will last your lifetime, but also it's going to last for eternity. And you're blessed beyond this life. He promised eternity. How many would agree with me this morning that he is the God of more than enough? Yes. Stand with me if you will. Romans 13:12 says, the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. In John 4, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. And I'll close with this one. If you just close your eyes for a moment as we're going to pray right now. Jesus said this to the woman at the well. He said, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God this morning, those watching online, but I'm going to give you an opportunity right now before we leave this moment. And I appreciate your undivided attention, even though we've gone past a little bit. And I thank you for being silent and focused here just for a moment. You see, Pastor Steve, I have not been living the life that you're speaking of, this worship style lifestyle, because I've taken matters in my own hands. I've not trusted God. I've just done things on my own, and I've been amiss of this, and I ask God that he would forgive me right now. If that's you, I want you to begin to pray. I can't pray for you, but I can pray with you. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, pray something like this. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Be my Lord and be my Savior. From this moment on, I'll follow you hard all the days of my life. I want to honor you, and I trust you with my life. And I decide to put on a robe of righteousness. I receive of it, and I see you right now, God, wrapping that around me, and I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. My friend, if you prayed that prayer and you mean it with all your heart, you leave this place changed in the name of Jesus. I want you to trust in the God who loves you more than you'll ever know. Amen. Amen. Fear God. Worship God. Even before the battle is won, you worship him in the middle of that. And you stand firm in him.